Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. The Memorial Day holiday weekend is here. Roads are packed, so are the airports, but there's a problem.
This is Jim Ryan. Some of those millions of passengers will need special assistance and early boarding. But the chief executive at Frontier Airlines says many of those requesting airport wheelchairs are faking it to get preferential treatment. Barry Biffle is urging a crackdown on passengers who abuse services reserved for people with disabilities.
Behind the actual wheel, 44 million travelers going 50 miles or more this holiday weekend. College basketball players in for a payday with a tentative revenue sharing agreement on the table between the NCAA and its five largest athletic conferences. The deal would allow student athletes to earn money from their name, image, and likeness from the NCAA directly for the first time ever. Approval from a federal judge is pending. And documentary filmmaker Morgan Spurlock has died, best known for his film Super Size Me. Spurlock was 53. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. $48 million worth of new building projects in Wisconsin just got the green light. The State Building Commission approved the funding yesterday. The money will go from everything from an addition to the Milwaukee Regional Medical Campus in Wauwatosa to an equipment storage building for the Department of Natural Resources. Black voters may very well decide the winner of this year's election, but black vote organizers admit they're fighting an enthusiasm gap this year. This could be due to any number of reasons.
You have, you know, some black folks that are concerned about the ceasefire, you know, that's going on in Gaza. And you have some black folks that are concerned about reproductive justice. You have others that are concerned about economics.
Ashley C.J. Daniels is with a nonprofit called Black Girls Vote. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Bong Veterans Historical Center has announced that a preservation group has found Richard Bong's P-38 fighter plane. According to a Fox 21 report, a nonprofit World War II historical preservation group called Pacific Rex discovered the wrecked plane in Papua New Guinea. Officials say the team found the plane's red-painted wingtips sticking out from a field and confirmed it was the correct plane with its serial number. The plane, called Marge, crashed when being flown by another pilot in 1944. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to wear a life jacket if they're planning to spend their Memorial Day weekend on the water. According to a press release on Thursday, 27 of the 28 boating fatalities tracked by the Department of Natural Resources in 2023 involved the victim who was not wearing a life jacket. In honor of National Safe Boating Week and in expectation of an increase in boating activities this weekend, DNR officials are reminding residents to be safe on the waters. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, reporting from Boston, Massachusetts, where the Brewers and the Red Sox face off tonight. No one is more excited to play in Fenway Park this weekend than Sal Frelick, who grew up here, but says he feels right at home inside the Brewers clubhouse.
Love everybody in this clubhouse. I think we all mesh really well together, pitchers, position players, everybody, staff. So, yeah, when you get rolling like that, and that it is contagious, everyone feels good going into the next day.
NBA, the Celtics beat the Pacers here in Boston 126-110 in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics now with a 2-0 lead. NFL in Green Bay, the Packers wrapping up week one of OTA practices. Matt LaFleur on what he's looking for the most.
Compete. Bring great energy each and every day, and I think the guys have responded well to that. You know, it's early, but I'm really excited about this group and their ability to come together, compete, to push each other.
That's Matt LaFleur from Boston with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Cloudy today with high temperatures tapping 70 degrees. Waves of showers and thunderstorms will move through this afternoon and evening, bringing heavy downpours of a half an inch of rainfall, and some could be severe, packing gusty winds and some hail. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age. My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, military veteran and subject of the Netflix documentary Father, Soldier, Son, Brian Eich joins the show. And Max Inc.'s Terry Barr checks in and reports from Bratfest.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Friday, TGIF, May 24th, 2024. It is 2424 in the year 24. No, not quite. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. At 6 minutes past the hour of high noon, Mr. Zommers, it's rainy here, high atop the State Street area, a block off the Capitol Square. And before we get into the show of the day, some serious weather words. Had a front that kind of moved through. I know parts of Wisconsin were under a severe thunderstorm watch until 1 o'clock, basically southwest Wisconsin over to Greene County, just south of Dane County. And now this next round of storms moving in from the east, or pardon me, from the west, is going to be hitting most of southwest and south-central Wisconsin somewhere between 3 and 7 to 8 p.m. tonight. So keep an eye to the sky. Be aware of that. Keep your weather radio on. Keep your cell phone charged. Because unlike a couple of days ago when there was this great big front and a lot of places were affected, I'm told from people who are smarter than me in meteorology that what we're looking at here is kind of that loner storm, if you will, this kind of cell that just kind of pops up all of a sudden quickly and gets very intense for a relatively small area. And some of these big storms potentially, keyword potentially, have the possibility of tornadoes in them, tornadic activities. So again, don't want to worry people too much, but the important thing is keep an eye to the sky, keep your radios on, keep your cell phone ready to go. And if you're at home, you know, television is a great place to get information as well. But wherever you get your weather information consistently, do so, because we could be in for some more storms, particularly kind of south of La Crosse over to Madison and then south, kind of that southwest, south central corner of the state of Wisconsin.
Right where we are.
Right where we are, as it turns out. So anyway, that's what's making news today. We'll keep you, if anything pops here during our show the next 2 hours live, we will certainly bring that to you. Mr. Zommers, welcome back. You had not planned on being gone yesterday, and a big shout out to the very talented Sam Davidson, who filled in yesterday for doing yeoman's work. But you went in for an eye exam, and you took a two-hour lunch.
Yeah, first of all, thank you very much, Sam, for filling in. Excellent job. I listened to the show. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I went in to get an updated prescription, because if you listen
for your glasses.
Yes, yeah. My glasses are broken, mm-hmm. and they're super glued together. I just re-glued them last night for the, I don't know, sixth, seventh time.
Yes.
And before I got new glasses, I figured, you know what? I haven't gotten my eyes checked in 2 years. Should probably fix that. Probably. So I went in, and they said, all right, you know, we checked it. And because you're so severely nearsighted, you're at risk for retinal detachment. So we're really going to have to dilate your pupils and take a look inside those peepers.
Lord, retinal detachment.
Yeah. So they took a look, got a little bit of lattice degeneration, it's called. So
I'm not laughing at you. It's just, I mean, it's always, it seems it's always something. I feel terrible.
It seems it's always something. Yeah.
But go ahead.
But yeah. So they said it would only be a couple hours and then I'd be able to see normally again. It was not a couple hours. My pupils were still enormous when I went to bed at like 10:30 p.m.
Oh my gosh. Well, you look quote unquote normal today.
I feel normal today. I didn't realize it at first because, you know, you take it for granted when you can see.
Right.
When that's normal for you.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. You look actually a little bit more well rested, so that's good. So welcome back. Glad to have you along with. Again, Sam did a lovely job. We appreciate him filling in. I owe him lunch now, but yeah. Well, nice to have you back for a Friday. Coming up on the bottom of the hour here, we're gonna have our friend and ongoing contributor Brady Ewing, 3-time Big Ten champion for Wisconsin Badger football, spent 3 years in the NFL, and lots to discuss today with Mr. Ewing. First, we're gonna look at this goofball, at least in my opinion, Buckner, the kicker from Kansas City, who had that graduation speech last week, pretty derogatory towards women and folks in the LGBTQ community. And look, it was at a private university, and I don't want to spend so much time with Brady on the politics of it. We've hashed that out on this show and others before. What I'm curious to ask Brady, it's focused on the league, the NFL, and NFL teams. Do they tell players when you sign an NFL contract, are you giving up some of your? Because, like, if you work for we don't have it here necessarily, but if you go to work for NBC or CBS, in your contract, there is a variation that basically says you're not going to take a partisan political stance on the air necessarily. They companies can, and it's your choice. They're not quote unquote making you. They're saying these are the parameters if you want to work for us. If you don't, that's fine. But if you work for us, these are the parameters.
Right.
So I want to ask Brady if there are parameters like that in the National Football League or with specific teams. Also, big announcement overnight, basically, from the NCAA, where the Power Five schools met yesterday and have now a beyond name, image, and likeness to actually pay players to a degree in Division One. So is this the demise of college sports as we've known it? We'll talk to Brady about that. And also just talk Memorial Day and see what else is going on up there in Southwest Wisconsin. I'm going to be back in the neighborhood, I believe, Saturday. I'm going up tomorrow to see Mom. So if the weather holds and everything. So talk to Brady. And then in hour number two at 1:30, Peter Rapine, our friend and ongoing contributor, who is the managing editor of E-Bombs World. And this is exactly what we need on a Memorial Weekend Friday. The Week in Review, the wild and wacky, actual things that actual humans do.
I can't wait for these every time that happens.
I'm looking forward to it. And Mr. Zammer says he has dialed up a board game of the week. So all that more coming up, should be a great show. And your phone calls as well here. And we're live, by the way, on a Friday. I just want to make that clear.
Yes.
We are live here on Friday, the 24th of May, 2024. To that degree, I want to get into, for folks listening on WAUK, the Shaw down in southeast Wisconsin, and also on WRJN in Racine, there is a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 1 p.m. So it looks like on weather radar, the bulk of the heaviest weather, at least the first line, has now moved out just offshore and onto Lake Michigan right now. There are a few storms up around Sheboygan right now, but a severe thunderstorm watch kind of for the southeast corner of the state until 1 p.m. technically here. And it's pretty much all of our listening area, say from Sheboygan south and east through Milwaukee, Waukesha, Racine, and Kenosha. And so just be aware of that. Includes Lake Geneva, Whitewater, East Troy, Elkhorn, Kenosha as well. So just be aware. There could be some rough weather there a little bit. And then further looking at the weather radar, a few more storms, another line is moving into western Wisconsin right now. And those storms are just entering into and about to be over Richland Center for our listeners on WRCE, WRCO in southwest Wisconsin, going all the way down kind of towards Platteville area. And been a lot of storms today coming in from Iowa across the river. Dubuque, I know, is under a tornado warning for a while. Had some other severe thunderstorm warnings in Grant and Lafayette County right by the Illinois border early on this morning. So lots of rough weather there. And then the only other line of thunderstorms right now, according to live weather radar, is just kind of south and west of Green Bay, say from Appleton. Our listeners in the Appleton area, some heavy weather there, extending all the way up to just south of Shawano. So that is moving kind of north and east right now. So be aware of that. And again, there could be some heavier weather, particularly in southwest Wisconsin from La Crosse, say down to Madison, that whole southwest quarter later on from between three and 7 or 8 tonight. Otherwise, we get that out of the way. Mr. Zomers, looks like the rest of the evening pretty nice. And then tomorrow, if you have outdoor activities for Memorial Day weekend, tomorrow looks like the gold ribbon day, sunny and highs in the 70s. Then Sunday looking more like a washout right now. Lots of rain coming in on Sunday for most parts of the state. And then Monday is kind of a mixed bag, a hit and miss. Maybe not a whole rain out, but just be prepared. So it's always tough for people camping this weekend, particularly tenters.
Yeah, I wish I were tent camping this weekend. Well, maybe not because of the weather, but generally I don't get to do that enough. But I'm probably just staying in town here, aside from that baseball game on Monday.
That's right. Your big baseball Memorial Day of a Brewers. Brewers and Cubs. Big, big game. We'll cheer them on. We want to hear more of that about that. Again, on Monday, I have a special show for you, some new content. We are going to have one of the folks, Administrator Lyon, Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, will be in on Monday. Have a great interview lined up with him talking about Gold Star families, those families who have lost a loved one in active battle, and what the Department of Veterans Affairs is doing to support them. Also, some of the ceremonies that happen at our Wisconsin veteran cemeteries across the state, have some patriotic music. And also, we're going to do our best to honor a fraction of Wisconsinites who have fallen in service and talk about the Wisconsin Memorial Union at UW-Madison, why that's called Memorial Union, and then this great interactive display, which you can access online, and it's called the Gold Star Honor Roll. And we read some of those names from the Civil War all the way up to last year of people, Badgers, who have given all and how you can get involved in that. So that's all coming up on Memorial Day proper on Monday. Also, I want a shout out here for Wisconsin Public Television. And if you're not familiar, it's on Sunday. Check your local public television listing for times. But PBS, Wisconsin Public Television, the National Memorial Day Concert, hosted by Joe Montana and Gary Sinise and a cast of others, military bands, very, very powerful. They take actual life stories of people who have fallen and read them kind of in dramatic form with great music and whatnot. It's extraordinarily moving. And I believe it plays originally at 5 or 6 on Sunday night, but check your local listings on Wisconsin Public Television, and then it replays throughout the day on Monday. So it's available as well at PBS YouTube channel, PBS YouTube channel, the National Memorial Day Concert. So all of that out of the way, we're going to come back and talk about a little story. Did we have an effect, Mr. Zomers? Apparently people are listening to us. Governor Evers requests a release of $20 million for communities affected by UW branch campus closures.
Wow.
Talk about it when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Title Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin. And over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Paddle Ball Show, TGIF Friday edition, May 24th, 2024, 20 now past the hour of 12 noon. If you're getting on the road, you miss the best opportunity to be on the road. I'm sorry to say. According to AAA, today and tomorrow, well, pretty much all weekend, if you're traveling by car in particular, AAA says try to get most of your driving done prior to 11:30 in the morning. Or the second best time is after 7 o'clock at night.
So if you haven't done so...
you're SOL. Just stay home. No. But just pack your patience, as they say. Don't be a part of the road rage. Don't be one of these goofballs that drives 95 miles an hour, darting in, especially when the roads are wet. You have that, ponding in the road. You don't want that.
You don't want a hydroplane.
Exactly. That's the word. Thank you. Don't be a goofball. Just be kind.
Be a goofball in the fun way.
Yes, exactly. Again, right now we have a severe thunderstorm watch. Has now apparently been canceled for southeast Wisconsin. So that is good news. The folks in southeast Wisconsin, those storms now apparently have moved out into Lake Michigan. So the severe thunderstorm watch that was in effect for southeast Wisconsin has been canceled. However, speaking of traveling, if you're headed down to Rockford or Midway Airport or O'Hare in Chicago, there are severe thunderstorm watches there until 1 p.m., basically from Rockford all the way into the city. And also a severe thunderstorm warning right now in the Chicago, just south of Chicagoland, right down the South Loop area. So if you're traveling, just know there's a line of heavy storms right now, kind of from Kenosha all the way down through Aurora, Illinois, and affecting, if you're traveling by air out of O'Hare, just be aware of that. We'll keep you updated and abreast of the weather as we go throughout the afternoon. According to the Wisconsin Examiner, and this is good news, Mr. Zalberts, because this is something we've been working on, talking about, harping about, I'll use the word, for quite some time. The closure of these two-year colleges, of which I am an alum, a proud alum, of UW Center Richland, which, thanks to Jay Rothman, president of the UW system, has now been shuttered, closed down, as have others around the state of Wisconsin. And the Republicans in the legislature are of no help on this. They could have done more in the budget. They chose to put in a measly $2 million per community that's being affected. Anything, well, $2 million, that's quite a lot. Well, here's the deal. Whether you're in Richland or Waukesha or Washington County or Fond du Lac or Marinette, $2 million in today's world to close down all these types of buildings for the local counties. I remember these 2 years are a joint agreement between the local county, who owns the land and the building, and system, who basically funded everything else, took care of the bills, utility bills, and the maintenance of the buildings, and the faculty, the books, all that kind of stuff. And now that system is pulling out, it's leaving taxpayers in local communities to have to literally clean up the mess. You have these beautiful buildings, but, every building needs to be maintained. And $2 million to find an alternative use for that, to keep them, to keep mowing the grass and the lights on and the heat so the pipes don't freeze the winter and everything else that goes along with a big property, acres of property like this, it ain't cheap. So to try to maintain all of that while still finding an alternative use, $2 million doesn't go that far. And then you think, okay, well, if we can't find an alternative use, we have to close this down, which, of course, is expensive in and of itself. So now Governor Evers, according to the Wisconsin Examiner, Wisconsin Economic Development Corp. is requesting that the State Budget Committee, Joint Finance Committee, co-chaired by Howard Markline, release $20 million meant to create a grant program that would support communities where a University of Wisconsin branch campus has closed. The request is the third submitted to the Joint Finance Committee by Governor Tony Evers' administration this week, bringing the total amount to be released to $45 million. Step away from the story. Remember, there is over a $3 billion, with a B, a $3 billion surplus in our state tax money in Madison. The request comes as lawmakers and Evers have been in conflict over the release of other state funding that was improved in the budget, including funds for fighting PFAS contamination of local drinking water supplies, grants to support hospitals in western Wisconsin, and a new literacy program in schools. The closure of UW branch campuses, including UW Richland, UW Milwaukee's Washington County campus, and UW Oshkosh's Fond du Lac campus, have left local communities facing potential economic crisis. Weedick's request would allow the agency to implement the grant program as instructed by a law passed by the legislature in February and signed by Evers in March. Under the law, communities will be eligible for the $2 million grant. Evers said in a statement that a lack of meaningful investments, quote unquote, in the UW system has caused the recent campus closures along with staff layoffs, and the staff needs to act quickly to address the challenges to prevent additional layoffs and closures. Quote, this funding is critically important in the meantime to help communities like Richland Center, Washington County, Fond du Lac, and Marinette find new uses for the infrastructure and existing buildings to support local communities and economies, Evers said. When Evers signed the bill, he used his partial veto power to eliminate requirements that local communities make a 20% match to receive the state funding, and language that prohibited communities from using the funding for redeveloping facilities to be used for academic purposes. Evers also eliminated language requiring Weedick to get approval from the Joint Finance Committee before releasing funds and requiring the grants to go to Richland County and then Fond du Lac County, Washington County, Marinette County before any other communities would receive the support. He said in his veto message that the partial vetoes are meant to help avoid delays in the delivery of funds to communities. Quote, I look forward to the Joint Finance Committee releasing the funds without delay so we can get them into the hands of folks that need them and revitalize these campus sites as soon as possible, unquote. So I mean, this is good news. Good news. Applaud the governor. But my question is, are the communities eligible for more than the $2 million grant per? Because if it's still capped at $2 million per community and the governor's asking a request for $20 million and each one gets two, that means he's anticipating a total of 10 out of the 13 campuses closing. And right now we're at four or five, which means to me, we're looking at five more communities losing their campuses.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's that yin and yang, the good news, bad news deal here. I mean, I can only read what's in front of me, only read what's been given to me. But, you know, let me read this again. The request will allow the agency to implement the grant program as instructed by law passed by the legislature in February and signed by Evers in March. Under the law, communities will be eligible for a $2 million grant. We'll stay on top of it. We'll let you know what's going on. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk a little sports, a little NIL with Brady Ewing on the other side. It's the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
What started as an employee appreciation cookout at Metcalf's Market has now become the largest brat and music festival in the world. I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report, and this features thousands and thousands of Johnsonville brats, among other food and family entertainment. But what else sets this festival apart from the rest is that it gives back to the community. Entertainment director Michael Alexander explains.
To date, we have currently raised about $2.5 million for local charities. It is an event that is completely free for the community. And not only is it free for the community, charities sign up. We pay hourly to each person that works for their charity, and then we donate money to those charities. Now, Broadfest doesn't always make money, but it is unique with other charities in the fact that the charities always get the money, even if we lose money, whether there's bad weather or, you know, whatever those things are. The charities are always paid first.
Since 1983, Bratfest has sold more than 4 million brats to help raise almost $2 million to benefit over 100 local charities. Bratfest is happening now through the weekend at Alliant Energy. I'll have a look at your midday markets right after this. June Dairy Month is right around the corner, and Erica Shade, Community and Schools Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, highlights why Wisconsin dairy is so important and how you can join in on the fun.
Wisconsin has always been the leader of dairy, setting a really high standard for milk quality, conservation, and sustainability. Wisconsin crafts nearly half of the nation's specialty cheese and provides $45.6 billion to the Wisconsin economy, which is more than Florida citrus and Idaho potatoes even combined. Wisconsin provides 157,000 jobs just in the dairy sector, and that's fueling the economy at $86,000 per minute. So we're really into the whole America's Dairyland because of how much our dairy is contributing to the state economy. So we have over 70 events happening throughout the month of June, and we encourage people to discover Taste Celebrate Wisconsin Dairy by visiting wisconsindairy.org.
Head to their website to see a map of all of the June Dairy Month celebrations scenario. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your Friday midday commodity markets. Cash corn is trading at $4.63. That's down a penny. And new crop corn currently has no change and is trading at $4.86.5. Cash beans are trading at $12.48.25. That's up 9 cents. And new crop beans are trading at $12.20.25. And that is up 4.25 cents. Cash wheat is trading at $6.92.5. That's down 5.5 cents. And September wheat is trading at $7.12.5, also down 5.5 cents. June Class 3 milk contract is trading at $20.12, up 16 cents. And July milk is trading at $20.27, up 28 cents. Have a great holiday weekend, everybody. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy today with high temperatures tapping 70 degrees. Waves of showers and thunderstorms will move through this afternoon and evening, bringing heavy downpours of a half an inch of rainfall, and some could be severe, packing gusty winds and some hail. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday's Best of Up North News Radio, having to bail our fast-growing lawns and how people who differ on abortion can have civil conversations.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
this day, when I hear that song, I see you standing there on that lawn. Discount shades, store-bought tan, flip-flops and cut-off jeans. Somewhere between that set and the sun, I'm on fire, I'm born to run. You looked at me and I was done, but we were just getting started. I was saying to you,
welcome back to the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I let it just play this time. You know, sometimes I like the music. I'm like, we're just going to listen to the music.
Sometimes you just got to jam a little bit.
Sometimes you got to jam. Welcome back to a special TGI edition. Well, I guess not really special, but special in the sense that it is the Friday of Memorial Day weekend, and a lot of people on the roads, getting on the roads. So if you're listening to us in your car, your truck, your SUV, whatever you're driving, thanks for taking us along on a Friday about 12:35 here. Mr. Zomer's on the board. And a quick weather update again. No severe weather watches or warnings in the state of Wisconsin at this time. But if you're headed down to Rockford or Chicagoland to the airport, there are severe thunderstorm watches in effect until 1 p.m. There is a severe thunderstorm warning just south of, well, the south loop, I guess you'd say, in Chicagoland until just after 1 o'clock. Let me just check that for sure. Actually, until 1 o'clock proper. So if you're headed south, that's where kind of the worst weather is right now. There are a line of thunderstorms in southwest Wisconsin, going from, well, we'll call it maybe around just south of Mauston all the way down through Richland Center into Boscobel, Lancaster, Platteville, and all that is moving to the east right now. And speaking of southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center, that is where we find our ongoing contributor, our friend. He is a three-time champion, Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badger football, also a captain of the team, and then went on for 3 years in the National Football League. He joins us from the old hometown, Richland Center. Brady Ewing, how the heck are you?
Doing awesome. Looking out my office window and seeing those thunderstorms you're referencing, so they're definitely amongst us right now.
Is it, but not too bad, not severe, just kind of your run-of-the-mill thunderstorm, right? I hope so. Well, that's good.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, very good. Well, Brady, a lot to get to this week. Some weeks, you know, are busier than others in the sports department. I want to get to the one thing that made a big uproar and still is to a certain degree. Speaking of the NFL, you got this, I'll call him a Yahoo, in my opinion, down there at Kansas City, Harrison Butker, which, I mean, apparently he's a good kicker, three-time Super Bowl champion. But he got himself into some hot water. He was at a private religious college last week giving a commencement address. And as a part of that address, he took on a lot of controversial issues and came out and was speaking derogatorily in many people's eyes about women, about folks in the LGBT community. And it did not sit real well. And I don't want to necessarily, we've talked about the politics and all that kind of stuff on this show before. And so I don't want to go rehash all of that necessarily again. Although if I'm Harrison Butker and my teammate's dating one of the most, by argument, most popular, well-known and beloved self-made women in America, Taylor Swift, in the world, maybe, I'm not sure I'd be talking, doing a speech derogatorily speaking of women. But, you know, that's just me. I don't know what happens in practice. You know, oh, geez, sorry, I didn't see you had the red shirt on there. You know, you just pound the guy. But I guess what I'm interested to know from you, Brady, as someone who spent 3 years in the NFL, my question is, when you sign an NFL contract, does either the league, the NFL, and or your individual team, in your case, the Atlanta Falcons and Jacksonville Jaguars, do they put restrictions on things you can say, activities or causes you could participate in, or is that all left to individual players?
Yeah, I think each team handles a little differently. I know Bill Belichick and his time with the Patriots, you know, he probably handled and directed his team and his players a little differently than some other organizations and the ones I was a part of. Mm. We were always coached up, at least, you know, in Atlanta and Jacksonville, you know, at the beginning of the year and throughout the season, if there was hot button topics going on, or, you know, they kind of had the media team give us a general sense on how they wanted us to approach things. Mm. And some teams, like I said, I think they have more flexibility and freedom than others. But as far as, you know, I always view that as while you're in the facility or during the season, in general team availability, there's kind of a blurry line on how that's handled and what type of issues you could talk about. And I feel like it continues to evolve and evolve from, you know, somebody like Colin Kaepernick to now Harrison Butker. So it's just, you see different ends of the spectrum, things handled in different ways. And yeah, everyone has the right to their speech, but it's kind of addressed in different ways with different teams, I think.
Well, that's something that you brought up, Colin Kaepernick. And I think, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, the well-known actress, comedian, and host, the longtime host of The View, I think maybe she surprised because, you know, Whoopi is known as a liberal person. And she came out on The View and said, look, I don't agree with what Harrison Butker said, but I don't disagree that he has the right to say it. But that's the same way as Colin Kaepernick had the right, in her opinion, and I would agree, to voice, take a knee during the national anthem and bring awareness to his causes. And what Whoopi was saying is, look, I might not agree with Harrison Butker, but I don't disagree that he has the right to say it. I would echo that, but I would take it a step further. And this is the question to you, Brady. I mean, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, came out with, my word, a milquetoast statement, basically saying, look, we don't agree with what Butker said, but we always stand for equity for all. I guess I look at the National Football League once a year. All the teams wear some form of a pro-LGBTQ, pro-pride uniform to support that cause, equality, and say everybody should be themselves, and the NFL supports that, which I agree with. They also made a big deal about more women being put in coaching and training and management positions in the NFL. And when you have one of your three-time Super Bowl champion star players on the defending Super Bowl champion saying something so contrary to the league, I guess I'm surprised the league didn't either denounce the comments more or really go out of their way to say, look, this is what we believe as a league. Did that shock you, Brady, or what's your thoughts on that as a former NFL player?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't shock me much, to be honest with you. I think, you know, Goodell made a comment and, you know, voiced his opinion. It was pretty generic. I think the league's inclusion officer, you know, put out a quick statement similarly. But I feel like they are starting to embrace varying opinions. And I think one of the things you had actually shared an article with me, Goodell said, you know, we value different opinions. And I think that is a microcosm of the world that we live in, having those different opinions and having dialogues and discussions. And that's really where I hope we can continue to make progress is, you know, everyone's opinions, great. It's valuable in some regard to provide different perspectives, but where we're going to make headway is not necessarily agreeing on it, but talking about it,
yeah.
Talking about it and sharing our different experiences so that we can gain perspective and we can continue to move forward collectively as a team or as a country, as an organization. So I wasn't super shocked that they didn't take a firmer stand on it. But yeah, it's interesting to see it unfold. Definitely some bold opinions shared.
To say the least. And somebody did the math on this, and don't quote me because it was on Twitter, but it was, I think, a fairly legit source. And someone did the math on this, and I guess calculated up like all the different games where the NFL showed Taylor Swift and how much estimated revenue. They're estimating that the NFL made $300 to $400 million this year on Taylor Swift. And that was her value, her monetary value that she brought with the increase in ratings, all that kind of stuff. And then the people are like, you know, for a league that made $300 to $400 million off of Taylor Swift, and then to have one of their key members, you know, go after women like this, that doesn't sit real well, Brady, with a lot of folks.
Sure. Yeah, it's an interesting word. I mean, the way that they purposely would put her on the TV, and you know, you have to believe that there's some sort of, you know, thought process behind that. But yeah, it's an interesting world out there, from that to, you know, the NIL to lawsuits to settlements. The NCAA is like, man, every day it's just an unprecedented thing.
Here's one more question before we get off the subject, and it doesn't really relate directly to the subject, but you played for Division I football for Wisconsin, then spent 3 years in the NFL. Are there ever times, like in training or scrimmages, whatever, that guys just kind of get, for whatever reason, like there's personalities or opinions out there, and people just get the crap beaten out of them just because of personality things going on?
There's always... I wouldn't say always. That's a bold word.
But, frequently,
you know, there's frequently. That's a much better word. There's frequently tips like that. You know, you're looking at a football team where there's 120 guys or so in college, and in the NFL, you know, 60 to 80, depending on the time of year. And there's always personality clashes, or, you know, little things going on in the locker room that no doubt transpires its way out to the field, where it's a little bit, you know, you're able to release some of that physical frustration, and sometimes fights break out, sometimes cheap shots break out, and, you know, you navigate and do that accordingly. So it's kind of a weird part of the world where you can still release some of that aggression and not maybe get kicked out of practice. Maybe you have to go sit on the sideline for a while, but, it definitely leads to some conversations at the dinner table when you get together as a team after practice, for sure.
See, there's a large part of me that just thinks somewhere on the Eras Tour in Europe this summer, Taylor Swift is telling Travis Kelce, when you guys go back, I want you to beat the crap out of that guy. I would not want to be Mr. Butker on the Chiefs practice squad. But anyway, we'll leave that there. The other big story, Brady, breaking, heard it on CBS mornings this morning and ESPN, several other outlets. Headline, the NCAA Power Five agree to a deal that will let schools pay players. The NCAA and its five power conferences have agreed to allow schools to directly pay players for the first time in its 100-plus year history of college sports. The NCAA and its leagues are moving forward with a multi-billion dollar agreement to settle three pending federal antitrust cases. So to break it down quickly, this is about a lawsuit. They're going to settle this. The Power Five schools are, or conferences, where some past players over a 10-year period are going to get a payout, but then moving forward, Brady Ewing, is this the end of collegiate sports as we know it?
I don't know. The way I'm perceiving it right now is, like, things have been such a wild west. I guess the part reading that article for me was seeing that there's this potential of revenue sharing going forward. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, and again, I've only read one or two articles on it here just today, but, you know, that's a step in the direction of trying to create a level playing field amidst all of this wild west of the NIL and, you know, collectives and things like this. So I like that, you know, aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see how that transpires, and at least with the Power Five schools, how that can take out some of these, you know, historically huge programs that have a large booster base that are willing to open up their pocketbook. You know, this revenue sharing at least levels the playing field for some of those lower tier programs, or, you know, guys that wouldn't necessarily be the headliners of an NIL type deal, like a top quarterback recruit or something like that. So maybe I read that wrong, but I guess what's your thoughts on that?
I think there's going to be more equity, if you could call that, within Division I programs, but the way I'm looking at this is, we're going to have to take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk about it. But I'm looking at the $20 million per year within the Power Five. We'll talk about it more, Brady, when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tyler Ball Show for a Memorial Day Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Springsteen.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. Meet the experts at Baldwin Woodville Insurance, Jeff Campbell and Michael Madison. With a wealth of over 50 years of combined experience, they've been your insurance partners on Main Street in Baldwin since 1938. Representing only the best insurance carriers, they specialize in commercial, farm, home, and auto coverage. At Baldwin Woodville Insurance, service is not just a promise, it's a commitment. Need assistance? They'll be there for you. Call today at 715-684-2400 and experience insurance excellence like never before.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Friday, May 24th, 2024. Zommer's on the board. Mr. Brady Ewing back the old hometown, Southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center, a three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badger football team, captain of the team for that magical year leading to the Rose Bowl, which was ruined by, not ruined, but it was severely dampened by the terrible, hated, ridiculously bad, cheating Oregon Ducks and the officials of that game. But that's a whole other bottle of wine. Not that I have feelings on it.
But it was
a magical season, and of course Russell Wilson was a part of that part of that game. That magical win for the Big Ten championship in Indianapolis. That was probably, boy, of all the college games I've ever watched, certainly ones that you played in, for me, that game against Michigan State, do you still think about that, Brady?
Every year when they release some of the highlights right around, you know, that game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't on a day-to-day basis, but, you know, a couple times a year, if you see it on Big Ten Network or stuff splashes across social media, and man, that was an awesome game. Just the roller coaster of emotions. I think that was the first Big Ten championship where they actually held a game in Indianapolis, I believe.
Or I think you're right. Yep.
And just an awesome experience. You know, seeing a lot of familiar faces after the game and in the crowd, and just taking that in with the team in order to earn the right to go to the Rose Bowl.
It was a really special moment.
It was in crazy fashion.
It was emotional, and it was fantastic to get to follow you out to the Rose Bowl that year. We had a great time. It was a great time, great experience, and a great game. And then Brady went on to spend 3 years in the NFL, the National Football League, with Atlanta and Jacksonville. He joins us each and every other Friday here on the show, talking about this news today that the NCAA settling a lawsuit which will allow them to, the NCAA, to pay some of the players. And bad news, Brady, all Division I athletes dating back to 2016 are eligible to receive a share of the past settlement. Missed it by that much. Why couldn't they have gone back a few more years for you?
I know. That was like the first thing I was scanning for in the article, but
of course, why not?
Selfishly,
right? Brady's like, boy, man, I can buy a new truck here. What's going on?
It's all good. I'm, you know, happy for those athletes that will get to share in some of that. But I think it comes with, you know, giving up their rights to bring, you know, other future lawsuits against the NCAA. So there's always that part of it. But I'm sure most of the people will just sign away and take the money while they can, instead of going through all the rigmarole that some have kind of led the charge with,
right,
leading to this point.
So it was the NCAA Board of Governors, leaders from the ACC, Big 10, Big 12, SEC, and now the former Pac-12, voted to accept the general terms, a 13-page layout. But the thing that I found interesting, Brady, was, you know, moving forward, that each school now, let me get the, make sure I read this correctly. The agreement includes a revenue sharing plan allowing each school to share up to roughly $20 million per year with its athletes. So the way I'm reading this is it's saying all the, you know, Division I schools, but it's really dictated by the Power Five. I guess what kind of, I don't want to say it ruins it, but my concern is, particularly with the NCAA March Madness, right? I mean, part of the magic of March Madness for me is, whatever, your Stony Brooks or your Wichita States, where these teams that come out of nowhere, the mid-majors, that get some good guys or good gals, and they really mm-hmm. take off. And I just feel between NIL and now this settlement, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see those days again.
Yeah, there's, yeah, I agree. I actually do agree. And I think that will always exist. And honestly, this may fuel that even more, honestly, because you look at those, you know, some of those, again, lower tier programs isn't the right word, but some of the smaller Division One schools.
Yeah, mid-majors or whoever. Yeah, absolutely.
Mid-majors, yeah. Yeah, it's they already have that chip on their shoulder because they thought they should have went to one of the Power Five,
right,
you know, big-name conferences. And I think this is only going to fuel that even further. And I guess you got to draw the line in the sand from my perspective somewhere. And I think a Power Five is a good place to start to try to get that, like, level playing field a little bit again, especially just in the day and age of the NIL and right. the craziness it's been. Well, I don't think it's going to solve all of our problems by any means.
I agree with you on the fact that this at least is maybe a first step towards some semblance of corralling things. I mean, that was kind of the paraphrase of Wisconsin men's basketball coach Greg Gard. He says one of the things that frustrates him, and I've heard, you know, John Calipari, other people say, it is the Wild West. There are no rules when it comes to NIL. That it's just part of the problem here, the challenge for coaches is that players are dictating this because they can go anywhere at any time for the highest bidder, and there's almost no rules on it, no guidelines.
Yeah, and you look at this lawsuit that I think he's from California, and I don't recall the name, but had been committed to Miami program and then decommitted for the Florida football program.
Yes.
And has brought a lawsuit against, I think, the head coach. And,
yes.
You know, one of the boosters for saying they didn't hold up their end of the agreement as far as an NIL deal that supposedly or allegedly was out put on the table for him. And, you know, I think that in itself speaks to the Wild West that is the NIL. And crazy, man. I mean, the amount of money that they're talking about.
I know.
Somebody coming out of high school supposedly had on the table. I mean, it's hard to fathom that. I mean, you talk about guys going into the NFL and, you know, not knowing what to do with some of their finances at that point, and you're, you know, 21, 22, 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You look at some of these kids now are 17, 16, 17, 18,
yep.
and getting that type of money tossed in front of them. It's just, it's hard to fathom and just, yeah, brings a lot of challenges their way. If that is the reality for some kids, as far as, okay, how do I manage this? How do I manage those expectations? What type of contracts are in place? What's the family implications of that?
Right.
Everybody and their brother and mother and sister calling out of the woodwork to get their hands on
third cousins twice removed. Hey, you remember me, right?
That's right.
Brady Ewing, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a safe Memorial Day weekend, you and your family. Maybe we'll see you around town. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Brady Ewing, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you, Brady. Stay tuned. Next, hour number two of the show is straight ahead for a Friday, May 24th on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for a special Best of Devil's Advocates. Never Trumper, former Congressman Joe Walsh, and my Congressman, Mark Pocan.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WIS Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.